The following episode of Lyrics of Their Life podcast deals with serious and sensitive issues, including the death of a child and sexual abuse. If you at any time require support, please contact your local crisis centre. Hello and welcome to Lyrics of Their Life podcast, The Story Behind, where we dive deep into the origin story behind the hits you know and love. I'm your host Adam Hampton, and in this episode, we explore the sad but hauntingly beautiful ballad, Tears in Heaven, made famous by the talented rock and roll blues icon, Eric Clapton, and the tragedy that inspired this worldwide hit. Before we begin, however, it's important to acknowledge that while Eric Clapton is celebrated for his incredible musical talent, his personal life tells a much darker and disturbing story. Throughout his career, he struggled with severe drug and alcohol addiction, he was unfaithful to his partners, and he admitted to abusive behaviour, particularly towards his ex-wife, Patty Boyd. And none of this should ever be excused or forgotten. What we're examining here today is not an attempt to glorify Clapton as a person, but to understand how one of music's most powerful songs emerged from the depths of tragedy and loss. In 1991, Eric's 4-year-old son Connor fell from the 53rd floor of an apartment building in New York City, tragically falling to his death and crushing Clapton's world forever. As a tribute, he would write this heartfelt song in honour of his son, who was simply taken from this world too soon, as Clapton would touch millions around the world with his message of pain, grief, love, and strength, in the hope of one day reuniting with his son in the afterlife when his time comes. So, without further ado, let's take a closer look at the story behind the song, and how Eric Clapton, for all his flaws and failings, turned unimaginable grief into something that resonated with millions around the world. This is the story of Tears in Heaven. This is Lyrics of Their Life.
Prince has died at the age of 57.
This is it.
Sorry, Gary, but I was always the talented member of the band.
Keep booing, little girl. I will hit a man with glasses.
I'm really happy for you. I'm gonna let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
Former Beatle John Lennon, who was 40, was shot and killed last night outside his luxury apartment in New York.
Asbeens shouldn't present fucking awards to Gunna Beat.
Leave Britney alone!
Leading up to the tragedy in 1991, Eric Clapton, of course, had built a reputation of being one of the greatest rock and roll guitarists and musicians of all time, having started his career way back in 1962, before becoming a member of legendary rock bands like the Yardbirds, John Mayall and the Blues Breakers, Derek and the Dominoes, and of course for being a pivotal member of Cream, where they scored hits like White Room and Sunshine of Your Love back in 1968. With Clapton, of course, at his very best, providing catchy, infectious riffs on guitar. Clapton was also a member of a range of supergroups over the years, including bands like the Dirty Mac, featuring members like John Lennon, Keith Richards, and Mitch Mitchell. Clapton was also a member of John Lennon and Yoko Ono's band, the Plastic Ono Band, where Clapton provided the brilliant screeching riff on the track Cold Turkey, before moving on to groups like Delaney and Bonnie and Blind Faith, alongside Steve Winwood, Ginger Baker, and Rick Gretsch, before Clapton struck out on his own, finding success as a solo artist with his incredibly gifted guitar playing ability, solid vocals, and brilliant ability as a songwriter, providing him with countless hit albums, like the 1974 number one album in the US, 461, Ocean Boulevard, and huge classic singles like Layla and I Can't Stand It, Lay Down Sally, Wonderful Tonight, and brilliant hit covers of I Shot the Sheriff and Knockin' on Heaven's Door, just to name a few, as he cemented himself as a household name, going from strength to strength during the 70s, 80s, and leading into the early 90s. However, while Clapton was forging his own path as a respected musician and great of the industry, you couldn't really say the same for his personal life, as things weren't as rosy behind closed doors, as he was battling addictions to drugs and alcohol, leading to a racist onstage rant where he said, "Keep Britain white," as he literally told concertgoers, "If you're not from here, then leave," as he said, quote, "I think you should all just leave, not just leave the hall, leave our country. I don't want you here, in the room, or in my country." While Eric Clapton's most troubling addiction of all was to women. Clapton was renowned for dating and having flings with multiple women over the years, as well as affairs with funk singer Betty Davis, fashion and art counterculturalist Alice Ormsby Gore, with the pair developing a crippling addiction to heroin, and the wife of George Harrison, Patty Boyd, among many others. However, there would be a similar trend in all of these relationships. Clapton would either start to get wandering eyes for other women, or he would have affairs and was an abusive drunk, sadly painting a very different picture to the one we all know well for his musical triumphs. Eric Clapton's relationship with Patty Boyd was the most turbulent and horrifying, as it began as a three-way love triangle between Clapton, his good friend and Beatle member, George Harrison, and of course, Patty Harrison, aka Patty Boyd, who was a model and photographer. After Eric Clapton and George Harrison collaborated while working on music together, he met George's wife Patty, who he couldn't stop thinking about. Eric Clapton was discovered to have gone behind George's back by sending love letters to Patty back in the early 70s, while she was still married to George, before Clapton and Patty were rumoured to have begun an affair together by 1974. George wasn't much better, however, as he also used cocaine and alcohol excessively and cheated on Patty multiple times, causing Patty to end their marriage during 1977, after she claimed that it was the final straw when she found out he cheated on her with Ringo Starr's wife Maureen, aka Mo Starkey, in Patty and George's own home. After leaving George, Patty would fall straight into the waiting arms of Eric Clapton, moving in with him almost immediately before they married 2 years later in Arizona in the USA during 1979. It was during this period that Clapton even wrote the love ballad, Wonderful Tonight, about admiring Patty's beauty while they were getting ready for a party with the McCartneys. While the songs Layla and Bell Bottom Blues were also inspired by Patty. Surprisingly, Harrison and Clapton remain close despite literally stealing away his wife, with Harrison going on to refer to Clapton as his, quote, husband-in-law. Despite Eric and Patty seemingly head over heels for one another, it wouldn't take long, however, for poor old Patty to experience much of the same with Clapton as she did with George Harrison, if not worse. As Clapton admitted in his 2007 autobiography to physically and emotionally abusing his wife, often beating her, and even admitted during a later interview with New York Post in 1999 that during this time, he was so high on drugs and wasted on alcohol that he felt entitled to sex with Patty. And while Patty also began drinking due to this abuse, this inexcusable and out-of-control behaviour from Clapton led to him giving up both alcohol and drugs in 1982. However, it wouldn't take him long to relapse, with his drinking habits opening the door to yet another vice, beginning his addiction to adultery and sex, which would go from bad to worse. Eric Clapton would begin having multiple affairs, including an affair with a married woman named Yvonne Kelly, who was the manager at Air Recording Studio in Montserrat in the Caribbean, as they first met here during 1984, while recording Clapton's ninth studio album, titled Behind the Sun. How Clapton came unstuck, however, was when Yvonne fell pregnant to him, only to tell Yvonne that they must keep their infidelity and child a secret, as it would crush Patty. Patty and Clapton had been trying for years to have a child together, only to result in a number of miscarriages and failed IVF treatments. So it was quite disgraceful that he had gone and done this and remained in a marriage with her, despite impregnating another woman. On the 12th of January 1985, Yvonne would give birth to a baby girl, naming her Ruth Kelly Clapton. However, Eric would initially have nothing to do with his daughter until years later. Just when you thought that Clapton would learn his lesson, however, just over a year and a half later, the now 41-year-old Eric Clapton had been engaging in yet another affair with an Italian model and TV personality named Loredana Del Santo, aka Lori. As the couple were believed to have fallen for each other instantly over dinner one night while Clapton gigged in Italy. This affair, however, once again resulted in Lori falling pregnant to Clapton, as she would give birth on the 21st of August 1986 to a healthy baby boy, naming him Connor Loren Clapton. Despite keeping the affair to Lori and the birth of Connor a secret once again, this time around, Patty would eventually find out that Clapton had a child to another woman, which of course shattered Patty's world, claiming she was, quote, utterly devastated. This would lead to Patty leaving Clapton in 1987 and divorcing him during 1989. Patty would go on to claim that she felt trapped in their marriage and put up with years of emotional manipulation and control. With Patty moving on, Clapton and Lori would then go on to briefly become engaged, only for their relationship to also fall apart. However, they would remain great co-parents for their son's sake, with Connor living permanently with Lori. Clapton and Lori then went off to briefly become engaged, only for their relationship to also fall apart. However, they remain great co-parents for their son's sake, with Connor living permanently with his mother, as she obtained primary custody. Lori would re-partner with an Italian film producer named Silvio Sardi, who lived in the apartment with Lori and Connor, essentially becoming Connor's stepdad. While Eric Clapton's decision-making was disgraceful and inexcusable, out of his chaotic and destructive past would come a beautiful blessing in the form of his son Connor. And while Clapton was a bit flaky in regards to his relationship with his son in the beginning, he was looking to make up for lost time, as he adored him. As Patty had discovered that Connor existed and Clapton's marriage was now over, he would start spending quite a lot of time with his son, visiting him at Lori's apartment in New York City. However, he hadn't yet taken the step of taking Connor on an outing outside of the apartment, as Lori had been encouraging him to step things up and really get to know their son. Sadly, however, while Clapton got to know Connor, he was still distant from Ruth, his firstborn daughter, with Patty still oblivious to the fact that she even existed and there was a second child out there. The birth of Connor became so influential on Clapton that he even returned to rehab for his drinking problems, as he attended Minnesota's Hazelden Treatment Center in November 1987, determined to get clean to be the best father he could be for his son, as he never had a father to look up to. As he said, quote, "I really did love this boy, and I thought, I know he's just a little baby, but he can see me, and he can see what I'm doing, and I don't want that. I'm tired of this." While he would also tell Dex Music in an interview, quote, "Connor was the first thing that happened to me in my entire life that really got to my core and told me, time to grow up. I could not fuck around any longer. I could not damage this." Growing up, Clapton was actually raised by his grandparents, who he thought were his real parents until he reached his teenage years. He never knew his biological father, only to be contacted by him when Eric found fame. However, Clapton refused to meet him, and never has, to this day. Eric claimed that Connor changed him for the better, maturing him, and he felt a strong bond to him, like he was tied to him for life. Clapton would describe Connor as full of energy and strong-willed, as he would later state in interviews talking about the incident and his reaction openly, as he was questioned on how close he was to Connor, as he replied, quote, "As close as I've ever been to anybody, because I invested so much hope into it. The last year of his life, I was struggling very hard to keep contact with him, because I was working so hard, and I was seeing a change in him, in his personality, that I thought wasn't going to come. Because you know when kids are 2 or 3 years old, and you think they're going to be bastards forever. And he really was a tough nut to deal with. He had incredible energy, and a very strong will, and he was very hard to discipline. And I didn't know anything about that anyway, because I didn't have any real role model to work with. And I just started thinking, God, if this is being a father, I don't know if I can handle it. And then he started changing." Clapton also claimed that he found the years between Connor being a newborn through to the age of 3 the hardest, claiming he blames his bad behaviour in this period on not being there enough for him and a clash of parenting methods and cultures between Clapton and his Italian ex, Laurie. As Eric found the tantrums a lot to deal with, and that when Connor was around 4 years old, he saw a huge change in him, and that he could actually talk and have conversations with this little human that he had created, which Eric found to be amazing. Laurie would describe Connor as a, quote, angel, while also claiming he was a beautiful child who had lots of character. He was bright, had a sense of humour, and he could even sing, often getting about with a toy guitar of his own and listening to his father's music.
There's been a major blow to the rock music world. A deadly helicopter crash early this morning in Wisconsin. 5 people have been killed, including rock guitarist Stevie Ray Vaughan and other members of rock star Eric Clapton's band. Clapton, however, was not aboard the helicopter. It was heading to Midway Airport in Chicago following a concert late last night.
Vaughan appeared in concert last night with fellow guitarists Eric Clapton and Robert Cray. Neither were on Vaughan's helicopter. 3 members of Clapton's entourage were. Bob Lozier reports.
The helicopter carrying Vaughan, 3 members of Eric Clapton's entourage, and the pilot apparently hit a man-made ski slope just outside the Alpine Valley Music Theater in Wisconsin, killing all aboard.
After Eric Clapton was left shaken by the death of a good friend and fellow influential blues guitarist named Stevie Ray Vaughan, along with 3 members of Clapton's entourage, who all died in a fiery helicopter crash on the 27th of August, 1990, around 6 months later, Clapton had cause for celebration, earning his very first solo Grammy Award win for Best Rock Vocal Performance for his work on the track Bad Love, at the 33rd Annual Grammy Awards, held on the 20th of February, 1991. However, little did he know that further grief was just around the corner, as just a month later, on the 19th of March, 1991, Clapton made his way down to New York City to visit his now 4.5-year-old son Connor, and had a fun couple of days planned with him, as he bought tickets to see the circus with Connor in Long Island, New York, marking their very first outing together. That evening, Connor and Clapton returned to Laurie's apartment, where Connor was believed to have had the best time as he talked his parents' ears off about how amazing the clowns and the elephants were, with Clapton believed to have told Laurie that night that from now on he intends to be the best father he can be for young Connor and to be more reliable. After dropping Connor off at his mother's, Eric Clapton would return back to his nearby hotel in New York, where he planned the next day of fun for he and his son, booking in a visit to the Central Park Zoo and planning on ending his visit with lunch together at a nearby Italian restaurant. However, as Clapton awoke on the Wednesday morning on the 20th of March 1991, preparing to take his son out for another fun-filled day of memories, an unimaginable tragedy would shatter Clapton and Laurie Del Santo's worlds forever. As Eric was about to leave the apartment at about 11 a.m, Clapton received a phone call that would stick with him forever, and one that no parent would ever want to hear. On the other end of the line was Laurie, who was understandably described as hysterical, screaming, and unable to communicate clearly what had happened with much sense at all, as Laurie told Clapton that Connor had passed away and he had fallen out of the building, as Clapton, in shock, could only manage 3 simple words, as he replied, "Are you sure?" Connor's stepdad, Silvio, could also be heard crying over the phone, and was also in shock. While reports vary, Connor was said to have fallen 49 to 53 stories out of a New York skyscraper known as the Galleria apartment building at 117 East 57th Street in Midtown Manhattan, in which Connor lived in with his mother Laurie. The reason for the fall was believed to have been accidental, but was caused by a cleaner leaving the large cantilevered window wide open and forgetting to close it after he had cleaned the windows before leaving the room. As he walked out of the room, young Connor came darting past him towards the window, which at the time had no safety railings or anything to stop him from falling, as condos at the time weren't required to have them installed. According to Laurie, Connor was bouncing around the apartment that morning, playing hide and seek, excited for another fun-filled day with his father. And while Laurie was in another room of the apartment, on the floor below, as Connor so often did, he wandered over to the lounge room window to press his face to the glass to attempt to spot his father on the streets below. However, heartbreakingly, the window, of course, was left wide open, and nothing was there to stop his fall. As little Connor sadly fell to his death, falling out of the 53-story window, falling 49 stories, before horrifically landing on an adjoined 4-story building.
There couldn't have been a bigger nightmare. Before anyone could stop him, 4-year-old Connor Clapton had plunged to his death from the 53rd floor of the Galleria building. He'd made it past his mother and 3 other adults who were in the apartment to a window that had just been cleaned and left open. There was nothing to break his fall except the roof of an adjoining building.
It's just a tragic accident that the child apparently wandered into the bedroom, wandered close to the window, and just by the fact that the window ledge was low, it appears that he just tragically fell out.
Laurie could sense something was up when young Connor became quiet as she started calling out to him, saying, quote, "Where are you?" only to run into the lounge room to find that Connor was gone and the window was left wide open, which could only mean one thing. Once Eric Clapton put down the phone, he claims he calmly made his way down to the scene, despite the shock horror of the situation. As he said, quote, "I remember putting the phone down and calmly walking from my hotel to that place as if nothing happened. And I walked past the street and, this is a terrible thing of shame for me, which I'll never ever perhaps recover from, and seeing that, seeing a crowd of people and a paramedic van and knowing that he was there and walking by. I'll punish myself forever about why didn't I run? Why didn't I go to see him? The truth is, I couldn't. I was so frightened." Clapton also claimed that he was in so much shock that he, quote, "went cold and shut down right away. It felt like I had walked into someone else's life," as well as stating, quote, "I felt like I stepped backwards out of myself. I couldn't grasp it. I went with the body down to the nearest hospital, and I went to see him, and I said goodbye to him, and I did lose faith." On the 28th of March 1991, Connor would be laid to rest just 2 days before Clapton's 46th birthday, which took place at the churchyard of St. Mary Magdalene in the small village of Ripley, in the English parish of Surrey, which happened to be in the same village which Eric Clapton was born. As Clapton said, quote, "I brought him home from New York with all of the Italian side of his mother's family, and we went through the process of the funeral. In attendance would be the likes of George Harrison and Phil Collins, among other musicians and close family friends. While one of the first to reach out to Clapton and offer their condolences would be Keith Richards, who had also experienced losing a child, losing his 10-week-old son Tara to SIDS during 1976, which occurred while Keith was away performing with the Rolling Stones, as he claimed it haunted him for the rest of his life. Laurie would speak to the media later on, claiming that she came into the room right after he had fallen out of the window, as she said, quote, "As soon as I entered the room and I see the window, where could he be? In the sky, in paradise, hopefully." Laurie struggled for many years with the loss of her son. It was almost unbearable, as she was unable to look at photos or watch videos of her son until many years later. She couldn't listen to any music, and she even had to avoid schools and playgrounds because the sounds of kids playing was a trigger for her. Eric claims that Laurie struggled more so than him, but that they both struggled in different ways, as Clapton found Connor's death to be so unbelievable that he sometimes thought that he might even see him in a couple of weeks, while he claimed that he never blamed Laurie or anyone that was present on the day for his son's death, and that instead, his anger would come out during working on music or even while driving and experiencing road rage, claiming he would snap and even want to, quote, "kill whoever cut him off in traffic." While Laurie had the support of her new partner Silvio, Eric Clapton, on the other hand, had no one, and returned to his large home in Hurtwood Edge Estate in Surrey all by himself, as Clapton sat alone and began reading through thousands of condolence letters, only to find one very special letter hidden amongst them all. It was a letter addressed to Eric from his son Connor, one he had written for his father only recently before his passing, with his mother Laurie helping him to send it to his home in Surrey while they were in Milan, Italy. As it read, "I love you. I want to see you again. A kiss. Love, Connor Clapton." While some were worried that Clapton would fall back into addiction after the loss of his son, Clapton actually found strength through Connor's death to be the driving force in staying sober, as he finally kicked his habits once and for all, putting Connor's, quote, "existence" down to helping him beat his addictions. Eric's reaction to the death of Connor resulted in him isolating himself from everyone he knew as he moved to the Caribbean island of Antigua for a whole year, living the life of a recluse in a rented-out cottage as he dealt with his grief and attempted to, quote, heal myself. While here, he avoided contact with the outside world, refusing to watch things like the news, and instead, he just wrote songs and played his acoustic Spanish guitar constantly, using music as a, quote, healing process, and, quote, I just played and played and played to stop from facing the situation. It was here in Antigua where Clapton penned what would become known as Tears in Heaven, in what was one of the most beautiful, heartfelt, and tragic songs to ever be written, as he dedicated this song to his son Connor, despite initially writing the song for the crime drama film Rush. Not only would Tears in Heaven help many around the world to deal with the grief of losing a loved one, but for Clapton, music, quote, saved me, just as it had as a boy of 9. It took the pain away, and I wrote these songs for myself because I was feeling terribly inside. Will Jennings, known for co-writing Up Where We Belong and My Heart Will Go On, would also co-write Tears in Heaven alongside Clapton. As Jennings claimed that Clapton wrote the whole first verse, but was struggling emotionally to finish the song. So Clapton insisted that Jennings complete the remainder of the verses. As Jennings told SongFacts, quote, Eric and I were engaged to write a song for a movie called Rush. We wrote a song called Help Me Up for the end of the movie. Then Eric saw another place in the movie for a song, and he said to me, I want to write a song about my boy. Eric had the first verse of the song written, which to me is all the song, but he wanted me to write the rest of the verse lines and the release. Time can bring you down, time can bend your knees. Even though I told him that it was so personal that he should write everything himself. He told me that he admired the work I did with Steve Winwood, and finally there was nothing else but to do as he requested, despite the sensitivity of the subject. This is a song so personal and so sad that it is unique in my experience of writing songs. Clapton claims he almost didn't want to release the song initially due to the personal nature of the lyrics. However, he was convinced by the director from Rush to release it, as it might help someone else struggling or in need who had experienced something similar, with Clapton agreeing. Clapton spoke further about the song in his 2007 autobiography, stating, quote, I wrote this one to ask the question I had been asking myself ever since my grandfather had died. Will we ever really meet again? It's difficult to talk about these songs in depth. That's why they're songs. Their birth and development is what kept me alive through the darkest period of my life. When I try to take myself back to that time, to recall the terrible numbness that I lived in, I recoil in fear. I never want to go through anything like that again. Originally, these songs were never meant for publication or public consumption. They were just what I did to stop from going mad. I played them to myself over and over, constantly changing or refining them, until they were part of my being. Tears in Heaven would be officially released on the 27th of January 1992, and was styled like a soft rock acoustic ballad. Tears in Heaven would be performed acoustically on MTV's Unplugged, receiving loads of praise, and would become a massive commercial success worldwide, reaching number one in 8 countries, including New Zealand, Japan, and Ireland, just to name a few, while also coming in at number one on a range of adult contemporary and singles charts in both the US and Canada. Tears in Heaven became Clapton's best-selling single in the US during his career, as the track also rose to number 2 on the Billboard Hottest 100 there, while it also made it to 4 in Laurie's home country of Italy and 5 in Clapton's home country of the UK. However, despite being one of the most recognised tracks, it only made it to number 37 in Australia, despite going gold in the country. Tears in Heaven would also remain one of the most commercially successful songs of the 90s. Laurie claimed that she loved the song Tears in Heaven and that it was a beautiful tribute to their son. However, initially she struggled to listen to it because it was still so raw, while some critics claimed that Clapton was attempting to profit off of his own son's death with Tears in Heaven. However, Clapton firmly denied this and claimed that they could all go and get fucked, and that he wrote it for himself as a way to heal. Despite what some may say, and despite being a short song with limited and simplistic lyrics, there's no denying the song is a masterpiece and speaks straight from the heart, drawing on grief, sorrow, and in some ways, even hope. As Clapton sings the haunting lines, quote, "Would you know my name if I saw you in heaven? Would it be the same if I saw you in heaven? I must be strong and carry on, 'cause I know I don't belong here in heaven." Tears in Heaven would also be released during August 1992 as part of Clapton's live album titled Unplugged, which was recorded for MTV Unplugged, with versions of Layla and the lead single Tears in Heaven helping to catapult the album to number one in 7 countries, including Australia, the US, and Canada, while also reaching number 2 in the UK. The album was so popular that it sold over 26 million copies worldwide, making it the most popular live album to ever be sold around the world of all time, while it would also go down as Clapton's most successful album of his career. Also included on that album was an acoustic instrumental song titled Signe, which details Clapton's grief during this time after losing Connor, which was written during his time in Antigua. All of Clapton's efforts and drive to pay tribute to his son would be rewarded at the 35th Annual Grammy Awards on the 24th of February 1993, when Eric Clapton earned a massive 6 Grammys from 9 nominations that evening. Not only did he win 3 awards for Layla and his album Unplugged, but he also took home 3 awards for Tears in Heaven alone, including Record of the Year, Song of the Year, and Best Male Pop Vocal Performance. Clapton accepted his awards humbly and even felt as though others were more deserving than him. However, when accepting his awards, he didn't forget to thank Connor for being his inspiration, as it can be heard in this clip.
And in the Record of the Year, the Grammy goes to the artist. The winner is Eric Clapton, producer of Clapton.
I don't know why I feel so guilty about taking so many of these. I don't know what to say. I'm very moved and very shaky and very emotional. And I want to thank a lot of people, but the one person I want to thank is my son for the love he gave me and the song he gave me. Thank you very much.
Not too long after the release of Tears in Heaven, Clapton would speak in an advertisement for the New York State Health Department, urging parents to install safety measures to protect their children from falls in buildings, as he spoke in this clip.
"I'm Eric Clapton. I need to talk to parents about how many kids are injured and even killed by falls. Each year in this country, nearly 100,000 kids are hospitalized because of falls. Here's how parents can help keep their kids safe. There are 2 simple things you can do. Use guards on windows and safety gates on stairs. It's easy and it could prevent a terrible tragedy. Believe me, I know."
With Connor's passing also came the public revelation that Clapton also had another child from an affair back in January 1985 to Yvonne Kelly, named Ruth Kelly Clapton. Upon hearing of the news, made public in 1991, Clapton's ex-wife Patty Boyd was believed to have been in shock and understandably upset that this had happened twice to her while she was with Clapton. Patty, however, had moved on herself after meeting a property developer named Rod Weston during 1991, before finally tying the knot in 2015 after 24 years together. Today, Patty Boyd is 81 years old. With Connor's passing, Yvonne would reach out to Eric and encourage him to come and meet and get to know his 6-year-old daughter Ruth as a way of healing, as he revealed in his autobiography, stating, quote, "Yvonne knew that being close to Ruth would help, and it was true. I was able to hold a child again, and to be held by a child. Ruth has been a tremendous support. I had no idea how much power a child could have on an adult life, how much it can make you feel valid, unique, and strong." From here on out, Clapton would remain in Ruth's life, making up for lost time. Fast forward to 1998, and Eric Clapton would release his 13th studio album as a solo artist, titled Pilgrim, which included a further 2 songs inspired by his son Connor, titled My Father's Eyes and Circus Left Town. Both incredibly beautiful tributes to his son, My Father's Eyes would reach number 2 in Canada and made the top 40 on the US Adult Contemporary chart, becoming his last single to chart in the US to this day. The track even earned a Grammy for Best Pop Vocal Performance, as the song essentially talks about living on through our children, as Clapton said during his 2007 autobiography, quote, "I wrote a song linking the loss of Connor with the mystery surrounding the life of my father, called My Father's Eyes. In it, I tried to describe the parallel between looking into the eyes of my son and seeing the eyes of the father I had never met through the chain of our blood." Circus, or Circus Left Town, as it's also known, would remain a largely underrated track, only reaching number 39 in the UK, and was written back in 1991 as Clapton was still grieving his son. The track Circus would feature Clapton's brilliant guitar string plucking technique known as claw hammering on nylon strings, along with the heart-wrenching lyrics depicting the final day that Clapton shared with Connor while attending the circus. As Clapton said, quote, "The last night I spent with Connor, we went to the circus. We went to see one of those huge things that they do in America, where they have 3 rings going on at the same time. You've got clowns and tigers and everything. They don't do anything in half measures. They just pile it all in. Plus, they're trying to sell you things at the same time. I mean, it was an amazing thing. After the show, we were driving back to New York City, and all he could remember, all he could talk about, was this clown. He'd seen a clown with a knife, which I didn't see at all. Some clown was running around brandishing a knife, which was something quite frightening, but he liked it. I mean, it excited him, and so that is in the lyrics. But, and I suppose what I was doing, I was remembering. I mean, paying tribute to this night with him, and also seeing him as being the circus of my life. You know, that particular part of my life has now left town." During 1998, the now 53-year-old Eric Clapton would move on romantically, meeting a much younger 22-year-old admin assistant named Malia McInerney at a party after a gig, where they fell head over heels for one another. They would have their first daughter together during June 2001, naming her Julie Rose Clapton, with the pair tying the knot later in 2002. Then, in January 2003, they had their second child together, yet another daughter, naming her Ella Mae Clapton. While Malia's third and Clapton's fifth and final child would be born in February 2005, with the couple celebrating the birth of yet another daughter and naming her Sophie Belle Clapton. Clapton would write a song about all three of his daughters to Malia, calling the track Three Little Girls, as Eric included it on a collaborative album with JJ Cale from 2006 titled The Road to Escondido. All three girls would go on to do well for themselves, studying at university and the like, and showing their artistic side that they no doubt inherited from their father. During 2004, Tears in Heaven would also be included in Rolling Stone magazine's Top 500 Greatest Songs of All Time, coming in at number 353, while sadly, Clapton also ceased playing Tears in Heaven and My Father's Eyes live, claiming with time passing on, he couldn't bring himself to play the songs any longer, as it just brought up negative feelings, as he said, quote, "I didn't feel the loss anymore, which is so much a part of performing those songs. I really have to connect with the feelings that were there when I wrote them. They're kind of gone, and I really don't want them to come back particularly. My life is different now. They probably just need a rest, and maybe I'll introduce them for a much more detached point of view." Clapton did, in fact, reintroduce both songs to his set list, with My Father's Eyes returning in 2013, and Tears in Heaven taking until 2022, leaving at least 18 years between gigs for the iconic song to return. Over the years, Eric Clapton would go on to earn another 9 Grammys, totaling 17. He would enter the Grammy Hall of Fame, earn the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award, he would receive a star on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Wall, and enter into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a solo artist during the year 2000, which would actually be his third induction into the Hall of Fame after previously entering with the Yardbirds and Cream. Recently, Eric Clapton released his 22nd solo album while turning 80 this past March, as he lives on 34 years since the tragic accident that ended young Connor's life. Had Connor been alive today, he would have been 39 years old and remains Clapton's one and only son. His mother, Lori Del Santo, is 67 today, while Clapton's daughters are also now adults and all remain close, as Ruth has just recently celebrated her 40th birthday and has become a mother of two. Julie is 24, Ella is 22, and Sophie is 20, while Eric Clapton remains married to their mother Malia, who is now 49 years old. Eric Clapton's life has been marked by controversy, mistakes, and redemption, but in the wake of his son Connor's death, Tears in Heaven revealed a side of him few had seen, a grieving father who was searching for meaning and for hope. Today, Tears in Heaven remains one of the most personal and vulnerable songs to ever be written, as it not only honours the memory of his beloved son Connor, but continues to comfort and connect with people around the world who also may be grieving the loss of a loved one. Because in the end, Tears in Heaven isn't just about loss, it's about love that never fades, and the hope that one day we'll meet again. And that wraps up this episode of Lyrics of Their Life podcast. Thank you all for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. If this is your first time tuning in to our show, don't forget to hit the follow or subscribe button so you don't miss our future episodes. And if you're really enjoying the show, a quick rating or review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts goes a long way in helping us to grow. If you would like to follow the podcast, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, X, and TikTok at Lyrics of Their Life Podcast, or on our website at lyricsoftheirlife.com for updates and more. If you'd like to support the podcast further and help keep episodes like this coming, you can head over to my Patreon at patreon.com/lyricsoftheirlifepodcast, or you can buy me a coffee over at buymeacoffee.com/lyricsoflifepod. Every bit of support means the world to me and helps make episodes like this one possible. Whether you're a long-time listener or just discovering the show for the first time, thank you for being here and supporting the show in whatever form that comes in. Thanks again for listening. I'm your host, Adam Hampton, and this is Lyrics of Their Life.